A lot of people, what's going on in their mind right now is that we were busy in the last 7 weeks building up from Pesach to Shavuot was this long period of Sfirat HaOmer, which really it's like almost 3 months of preparation. Going all the way back to Purim, it's like as if we had a party, knowing that now we're going to have 3 months of hard work. So Hashem says, okay, go get drunk, enjoy yourself. Now there's going to be a whole month of preparing for Pesach, which is usually a very hard month with the cleaning and all the preparation. And then from Pesach till Shavuot, we're busy with Sfirat HaOmer. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. It's a very simple mitzvah. It takes 5 minutes. But everything is around the Omer. And every day we're climbing another day and another day and another day. And the ones who take it serious, and Baruch Hashem, we learned a lot about Sfirat HaOmer and what you can achieve and what it means. And a lot of people take it very serious. And their day is going on this build-up every day. There's another day and another day. And then comes the highlight, comes Shavuot. And a few cheesecakes, and that's it. And it's over. And now what? What do I do now? I already got into this mindset that every day I have to work on myself. And I have to climb. And all the teachings that we had about Sfirat HaOmer. And a lot of people say, okay, but now what do I do? I mean, that's it. I'm back to normal. What do I have to work on now? And we got so used to the fact that we were going in a certain motion and every day I'm climbing higher and higher that I found a lot of people asking me, what do we do now? I mean, technically we were very busy. We're constantly busy with things. Now I have quiet. Almost half a year till the next holiday. So I heard a joke on Shavuot after we were eating like pounds of cheesecakes and ice cream. Then somebody said, you know why there's no holidays from Shavuot till Rosh Hashanah? To lose all the calories from all the cheesecakes. So it's also we're getting a break in our diet. But it kind of seems like we're going into the summer now. And usually in the summer, the temperature gets hot. Usually also the Yetzer Hara also gets hot with the temperature. In the winter, you kind of hibernate in your home, and it seems like there's a climb and a high, and now you fall down. So I want to just talk about something that one of course should apply, and what's really the point of the giving of the Torah and what needs to be applied with that. Of course, on the simple level, one needs to acquire the Torah and live the life of the Torah. I mean, spiritually we receive the Torah. Yes, we went out of Mitzrayim. It signifies the fact that I am born into a state of limitation. That's why we were born in Egypt and we were not brought into Egypt. That's one of the many reasons why it had to be so many generations in Egypt, because to make sure that it's obvious and clear that we are born in exile. We are born slaves. And that's for me to understand that I'm born with my limitations. And I have to go out of my limitation. Our sages say that every generation we have to see ourselves like as if we come out of Mitzrayim. But the Baal HaTanya says, no, we have to see ourselves every day like we go out of Mitzrayim. B'chol yom v'yom, every day I have to see like I went out of Mitzrayim, out of my state of limitation. So the holiday of Pesach, it signifies not necessarily an historical event that happened 3,000 years ago. Rather, is the fact that I live in a state of limitation and I constantly have to go out of my limitation. And why do I do that? Where do I go? I strive to get the Torah. And on Matan Torah, maybe we got it physically once, but every year we get it spiritually. So if you're looking in a very general way, then we just received the Torah last week. Now apply it. There's 613 mitzvot, plus 7 mitzvot from our sages. Apply it. Start living your life in the way of the Torah. to the best of your ability. You have to eat kosher, you have to observe Shabbat, you have to stop yourself from doing many things, lying, cheating, and so forth. But that's on the surface. Now most people, when it comes to the Torah, they have a problem with really following the Torah 100%. Because it's not so simple. To be honest, it's not a simple thing. It's a lot of demands. You can't do this, you can't do that, you have to do this, you have to do that, don't eat this, don't eat like this, don't eat like that. It's seemingly not a simple thing. Especially when you're not born into it. And then you have to start changing. Now a lot of things you do gladly, because it fits very well with your agenda. Some things you do very easily, because it's just your nature. And then you reach a certain block that you're saying, that's a way beyond my ability and totally against my nature. And then you start developing all the anti, why shouldn't I do this and why shouldn't I do that? But really, not to chas v'shalom complain, following the Torah is not a simple thing. Amen. It's not a simple thing, there's a lot of rules, a lot of laws. You know, I can't sneeze without being afraid that maybe I did something wrong. It's not simple. And many people have a problem with the fact just to follow the Torah. That's one problem in itself that many people struggle with. Then comes a whole different thing in the Torah that causes even more of a problem to serve Hashem, is because the Torah comes in many different types of definitions. And unfortunately, since the years as they were passing by, some things were added, some things were changed. And it became to a point that the Torah became very boxed and very defined. And if you don't do this, then you're out. And this is not the way of the Torah. And that's very dominating in our generation, that if you don't fit a certain path, then you're not following the Torah. And if you don't belong to a certain group, or if you don't follow a certain rabbi, you can be a loner, and you have to follow the rules. The healthy part of it is that we do have a lot of rules. The Torah is about rules. It keeps us under an umbrella of rules. But there are many rules that are added which are not the rules from the Torah. And here were added all sorts of things that have nothing to do with the Torah. And what it causes it is it causes the pressure that I have to fit into my community, or I have to fit into this congregation, or I have to fit. And if I don't, then the community will kick me out, or I'm different, or I'm not going to belong anywhere. And this is not part of the Torah. The Torah doesn't come with the pressure that I have to go through certain guidelines. The Torah says, no, these are my rules. And my rules are to benefit you, and not to make your life hard. If the Torah tells me, don't eat these animals, is not to make my life harder or to annoy me. It's to say, these animals are not good for you. Spiritually, they will harm you. The teachings of Kabbalah explains that everything in the world has a godly spark that enlivens it. And some sparks, if they will meet each other, so to say, there will be a short circuit. So if the godly spark that is in my body will now get connected with the godly spark that enlivens a camel or a pig or whatever it is that is not kosher, what's going to happen in the spiritual level is a short circuit. It's going to hurt me. And it's going to hurt me in a way that I won't recognize that it's hurting me. So I'll become very depressed, I'll become very anxious, I'll have anxiety, I'll have nightmares, whatever it is. I'm not going to connect it to the food. Also to Gentiles. Gentiles don't have to have a problem with kosher, but they have their mitzvot. But
when they can eat pig.
A Gentile can eat a pig. The godly spark that is in the neshama of a Gentile does not get affected by the godly spark by an unkosher animal. Therefore, they're not obligated to eat kosher, but they're obligated in many other things. This is one example out of many. The point to take from that is the Torah gives me a set of rules, not to make my life hard. Torah gives me rules, it's more like precautions. Don't do this, it's going to be a problem. It's almost like me coming now and telling my child, don't put your hand in the electricity socket, you'll get electrified, electrocuted. Don't put your hand on the stove, you'll get burnt. Don't scream too loud between 2 and 4, somebody's going to scream back at you. Whatever, I'm just, at least here in Israel, 2 and 4, that's it. Everybody's taking a Schlafstunde. So the point is that I tell my kids, don't do this and don't do that. And more than that, it's not only me telling my kids. You have a manufacturer that sells you an item. You buy now a new iPhone 8, iPhone 9, or whatever number it's holding now. I think it's iPhone 7. I lost count. So the manufacturer tells you, don't put your phone in the water. Even though I saw now an ad that there are phones now that you can put them in the water. But the manufacturer tells you, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. If you do this, you would lose your warranty. We will not cover the damage. Hashem tells you, don't do this, do that. These are the rules of the Torah. But there's one thing that is missing that is not stressed enough. When the Torah was given, the Zohar says that there were millions of people there. It doesn't say a number. But we calculate, we derive from the information that there was about 3 million people getting the Torah. How do we get to this number? Because it says that there were 600 men from the age of 20 till the age of 60. So if we have 600,000 men, most likely most of them are married. Let's assume they're all married, so that's another 600,000 women. That's already 1.2 million. Assuming that they have 3 kids, an average family, that's another 1.8 million. So a quick calculation brings us to about 3 million people. Probably there was much more, because it's not counting all the kids, and it's not counting the elderly above the age of 60. But a rough calculation, you're looking at about 3 million people. You know what's 3 million people? That's half of Israel standing there and getting the Torah. More than that, this is a rough calculation. This very easily can be 5, 6 million. More than that, all the nations were there. Everybody was there. Now, when the Torah was given, it was given on Har Sinai, on a mountain. The mountain is round, which means that there are people standing all around the mountain. Not, they weren't standing like in a row, seeing the mountain. They're all around the mountain, which means that the Torah was shown and given multi-dimension. People were standing on this side of the mountain, but on the other side of the mountain, exactly across them, there are more people. So technically, one sees the front, one sees the back. But one of the miracles was that everybody that was standing in the diameter of the mountain saw the exact same thing. And the Zohar explains that the millions of the people that were at the time of the giving of the Torah, each one heard the Torah completely different. There were 3 to 6 million versions of the Torah. So even if we go to the lowest number, 3 million, it was heard in 3 million different ways. The exact way that right now you'll take a group of people and you'll take a sheet of colors, each person sees the colors completely different. I can see the blue in a certain shade, and you would say it's not even blue, it's purple. So no, it's blue. No, it's purple. And you see that in many different colors. You can think that it's orange, I'll tell you, no, it's pink. It's peach. Why? Because the shade looks completely different. Besides the fact that here comes a very big question. Who said that the color blue, everybody sees it blue? Who made the color blue? Because technically, if you want to explain what's happening here, how do we able to see something? Because there are rays of light, beams of light. And the beam of light is shining on something that allows me to see it. Because if there wouldn't be a beam of light, I would not see it. What's the proof to that? Turn the lights off, you're not going to see nothing. If it's in the middle of the night, close the windows, close the lights, you're not going to see nothing. Meaning that in order for me to see something, I need light. The beams of light allow me to see something. So right now, doesn't matter right now if the light comes from the light bulb or from the sun, the concept of light, the keren or, the beam of light, is carrying the information from one place to the other. I mentioned that a few times, that the teachings of Kabbalah explains that we actually don't even see anything. Rather, everything in the world has a nefesh, a soul. Even inanimates, even rocks, they have a soul. And the souls interact with each other. And my soul now will interact with all of your souls. And my soul is delivering the information to your soul. And you think that you hear me. And you think that you see me. And you think that we're all here, but it's really all happening in the level of our soul, that the souls are interacting with data. And the example for that in our generation is computers. That computers communicate with each other all day long. You now go with a credit card to a store, and you'll swipe the credit card. Instantly, within a split second, it's sending a message to a computer in the bank to see if you have credit. And if you have credit, how much is your credit? If you have money in your bank account, don't have money in the bank, instantly you get an answer back. The credit card was declined or approved. What really happened here? One computer communicated to another computer, that computed to another computer, it's just communication through the computers, and it's all data. The computer doesn't say, do you know Moshe? The computer doesn't even know Moshe. It's numbers, everything is numbers, it's a code. And the computers communicate with each other all day long, and they don't see each other, they don't know each other. The computer doesn't have an imagination how the other computer looks. It's all sheets of information, it's data. And you see that on a daily basis. Now millions of people, as we speak, are now texting each other. How is this information being transferred from one device to the other? How does my phone know that you just sent me a smiley with a tongue going like that? It's code. There's no smileys. The phone doesn't know, oh, right now he's sending me 3 smileys and 3 thumbs up. How does the phone know to communicate? You're talking about billions of these smileys every second flying in the universe. Let's assume that there's about, I'm being very, very, very conservative, 500 million phones in the world. You're talking about 500 million smileys flying from each other every day, dozens of times. Data is being transferred from one phone to the other. You think the phone knows how you look or how the smiley looks? It's all data. Data that's been transferred from one place to another, and there's no shape, there's no colors, there's no forms, it's just a code. Same idea, that's how the souls communicate. The souls don't have a shape. The souls don't have a name. The souls don't have colors, but they communicate. So technically, right now we're not really sitting here. You don't really hear me. You don't really see me. My soul now is interacting with all your souls and transferring you right now the data, and you're, so to say, dissecting or analyzing the data. And the data tells you right now, Alon is sitting in front of me and his suit is black and his white shirt is white. Who says this is white? Maybe it's not white. What determines the fact that it's white? So not to go too far into the philosophy of explaining that, but the point is that in order for me to see something, there must be a light, a beam of light that carries that data from one side to the other. And that explains how we don't see the colors the exact same way. I see this color, a certain shade of blue, it doesn't mean you see it identical to me, and nobody will ever know. You cannot go into my system and know how I see this shade of blue. Same idea, we all heard the Torah, millions of souls heard the Torah, each one heard it completely different. Completely, completely different. So technically, there are millions of ways to see the Torah. Now, one should not take from it a very wrong approach by saying, okay, I see the Torah how I see it, I'll do it how I want it. That's already is heresy. This is kfira. No, I can't do that. That's why the Torah came with a whole list of rules that you're not going to start interpreting how you want it. Therefore, right away we got the Torah in writing, and then after that the Torah, the oral Torah. So when it comes and tells me that I have to eat the kosher animals, it tells me which are the kosher animals. And when it comes to tell me to observe the Shabbat, it tells me, let me tell you what it means to observe Shabbat. And when the Torah comes and tells me not to kill, not to steal, it comes right away and tells me, whoa, don't start developing all sorts of ideas. This is what the Torah meant, and don't start reforming the Torah. Don't start distorting the Torah. But one thing that one needs to take from the fact that the Torah was given, basically it was given to all of us as one, but it was given to each one separately. Meaning that I have a unique relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. My relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is unique, there's nobody else that has this relationship. I mean, you cannot compare it, but take a father or of a mother or of a few kids, and you have a total different relationship with each kid. And, for example, I have 6 kids, Baruch Hashem. Each kid is a completely different relationship. It's a total different person. They like different things, they have different sense of humor. One kid, I do this, one kid, I do that. It's a completely different relationship from all of them. When we're all sitting around the table, it's a form of a family. It's the dynamics of the family. But when I'm one-on-one with each kid, the kid is completely different. And it's a completely different relationship. One kid you're more strict, one kid you're more silly, one kid you're more lenient, one kid you're more strict. Each one is completely different. The same idea is that Hashem has a completely different relationship with each and every one of us. Totally different. And each and every one of us has a unique connection to Hashem. What I need to take from that Hashem says, you have to follow the rules of the Torah. There's no question here. There's no discounts to anybody. Nobody can come and say, oh, I don't need to keep these mitzvot. They're not nothing to do with me. That's why this is a big mistake, especially in our generation, that people, you tell them the word Torah, or religion, or Judaism, they right away in their image see a person with long peot, a beard, black suit, and a hat, and if you're not that, that's the Torah. Right away people associate, that's religion. Which, the downside of it, is that unfortunately many of the ones with the beards and the suits and the peot behave so disgraceful, so people come and say, that's the Torah? That's not for me, I don't want to. And it's a misconception, it's not true. But coming from a very secular background, my opinion on Judaism and the Torah, I associated Bnei Brak, Mea Shearim, and places like that. That's the Torah. So when I saw people behaving in a very weird way, or extreme violent way, or disgusting way, I said, oh, that's the Torah? I don't want to do part of it. I don't have anything to do with it. Really, the Torah is colorful. There are many, many rules. But one cannot associate the Torah with a group and saying, okay, they represent the Torah. Nobody has the power to say, I represent the Torah. That's why the Torah was given in a desert, because the desert is a place of hefker. Anybody can come and take it. The Torah is for everybody. Everybody can come and take whatever they want from the Torah, and it belongs to everybody. It doesn't belong, one person cannot say, the Torah belongs to me. I represent the Torah. You have to do what I say. That's the wrong way. Basically, what we need to take from that is something very simple, that Hashem says, yes, you have to go by the guidelines of the Torah, but you have to be you. You have to be yourself. You have to shine in the light that I want you to shine. In the shade, how you look. And this is one thing that became a very big misconception in Judaism, is that you have to fit a certain mold. And if you don't fit the mold, then you don't belong. And what happens is that some fit in the mold, and they attach themselves to a group, and they're fine with that. Good. You're fine with that? Good. Some don't. Many people don't want to fit in the mold. They don't fit in. I don't want to dress like that. I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to sing your song. I don't want to behave like you. Because it means that I don't follow the Torah anymore. I don't have where to go. Because you are defining the Torah in a certain way, it's good for you. It doesn't mean it's good for me. And that's the problem, is that unfortunately, the majority of the God-fearing or the Torah-observant people, the majority of Am Yisrael is not observant. It's a minority. We might look like there's a lot of Orthodox or Hasidic or whatever you want to call them. I don't like all these definitions to start with. But it's a minority of Am Yisrael. We spoke about it on Shabbat. And a lot of people evaluate that there's about 16 to 20 million Jews in the world. I don't even know what they're basing the number on. But that's the evaluation. And I think it's totally off. I think we're about 80 to 100 million Jews. Easily. There's much more Jews than we think. It cannot be that we're so little. And the proof to that, look now in America, in North America, with assimilation, and after the Holocaust, 80% of the Jews in America, they don't even know they're Jewish. And every day you're pulling them out, and starting to find out they're Jewish. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were left in Europe in the Holocaust, and they were hiding in so many places that they lost their identity. They don't even know they're Jewish. Just this Shabbat, we had a beautiful Shabbat meal, and four young men came to join us. And I don't know all the guests, but as they're coming in, we're greeting them all, and these four young individuals, I talk to them. What's your name? Where are you from? One guy says, I'm from Australia. I says, oh, really? My mom is Australian. Where are you from? He tells me, I'm from Sydney. I'm like, really? And he tells me, who's your family? So I start telling him, Friedman, Wahlberg. And then I say, another name. Because that's my last name. Who's your family? So I mentioned the name. He's like, that's my father. Like my second cousin, that I know the parents very well, but they live on the other side of the... I met him when he was a kid. So my second cousin is joining me for a meal on Shabbat. And just goes to show you how we're so far away, but we're all so connected. But why am I mentioning him? Because so many times I mention a certain relative that I have, who is his grandmother. And many times I mention that I have my mother's cousin. In the Holocaust, as they were running, they needed to save the kids, so they put her in a church. They just walked in, she was in a basket, whatever it is, they just threw her there and they ran away. After the war, they came to look for her. And they couldn't find her. After many years, they finally found her. She was already a young teenager. The family didn't want to give her up. They were like, it's her daughter, we're not giving her. Finally, they did give her away. Half of her life, she grew up in a Catholic church. She didn't even know she's Jewish. Suddenly, when she's 12, somebody comes and tells her, you're my daughter and you're Jewish. Like that, there's thousands and thousands of Jews were left in Europe. And it's everywhere. Talk about the Anusim. And you know, they say now, after the Spanish Inquisition, they say now every sixth Spaniard is Jewish. Going out of Spain, every sixth person is a Jew. I always tell the same story that my father was born in Lebanon. My grandparents are from Syria. But they lived in Lebanon. And about 100 years ago, give or take, unfortunately, it was very common that the girls would get kidnapped. Jewish girls, they would kidnap them and sell them to sheikhs and tribes. So my great-great-grandfather had a brother who had a daughter that was kidnapped. And there wasn't the FBI, there wasn't the police, they couldn't find her. Then they just lived with the fact that the child disappears. Many years later, one of the family members was on a business trip and he found her in Jordan. And she was already grown up, she was already married, she had two kids, they sell them, they get married very young. Now this is not the type of place that you can come and say, that hey, she's ours, give her back. They're sold to these tribes, it's called Hamula, and you know, you say the wrong word, your head gets disattached from your body faster than you can blink. You can't talk to them, you can't reason with these people. So the reality is that somewhere in Jordan, maybe they migrated to Iraq or Saudi Arabia, I have cousins, distant cousins. It's my great-grandfather. And it's not that that's just one case, there are millions. So there are millions of Jews scattered all over the world. They don't even know they're Jewish. And unfortunately, on the other hand, there are many people that think they're Jewish and not even Jewish. There's a big mishmash right now, and very soon Mashiach is going to come and I'm going to start pointing at everybody and tell who's Jewish and who's not Jewish, from which tribe you come from, and so forth. But the point to take from that is that the minority of our nation is observant. It just looks like a lot. It's not. And there are so many Jewish people that they are not coming close to the Torah because they feel that's what's projected, that if they don't fit in the box, they're not welcomed. And they will come to a certain congregation, and if you don't behave like us, pray like us, dress like us, you have no place here. Now, coming from a very secular background, that's what causes people to be discouraged. I don't want to. But I have to dress like you. I have to behave like you. If I don't behave like you, it doesn't mean I'm Jewish. I can't follow the Torah because I don't want to behave like you. And it's a source of discouragement for many, many people. Because they feel that they have to fit a certain criteria. Comes the Torah and says, no. The Torah was given to millions of people and each one heard it completely different. Yes, we got the rules together. The rules you cannot change. But you have to shine in your light. You have to be unique to yourself. And the problem with many people is that they're trying to be something they're not. And this is what causes them not to be able to bridge into the connection of the Torah. Because when you try to be something you're not, then you don't feel comfortable where you are. And in our generation, everybody has to belong in a group. What, you're not in a group? People always come and tell me, what are you? What am I? But I have to come with a tag. What are you? Which group are you? I don't belong to anybody. I belong to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why do I need to belong to a group? And if I don't belong to a group, I'm not accepted, I'm not a good Jew. Why do I have to belong to a group? And that's the most common question I get everywhere. What are you? So I'm a human being like you. I have two hands and I have a head. You also have a head and two hands and a body. You're also a human being. I don't go and ask people, what are you? And the problem is that some people, that's good for them, good. You like being in the group, stay in the group. Makes you feel comfortable, makes you feel yourself, very good. Grow in the Torah. But the majority of people don't want to be boxed. They don't want to belong. Do I need to belong to somebody? If I don't belong to somebody, then I can't follow the Torah. And this is a very big problem, especially in our generation. Then why is it a problem? Because it's discouraging people from becoming closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now again, it's a very important fact that one cannot distort the Torah. People might come and say, oh, you're basically telling me I can do whatever I want. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the Torah is very clear and the Torah is for everybody. If the Torah says don't kill, it's don't kill. It doesn't matter what's your background. The Torah doesn't say, don't kill if you originate from this country. It says, lo tirzach, simple, don't kill. Torah says, observe Shabbat. I have to observe Shabbat. Doesn't matter where I came from. Doesn't matter how I want to call myself. People now call you, I'm Orthodox, I'm Hasidic, I'm modern Orthodox. Who came with all these definitions? I have to be defined? Somebody once told me, oh, you're Orthodox. I said, I'm not Orthodox. Don't call me Orthodox. I'm a God-fearing Jew. I follow the Torah. Don't box me in a category. I don't like the word Orthodox. But you're Orthodox. Look how religious you are. I said, I follow the Torah. I am a God-fearing Jew. That's it. I follow the Torah. Don't put me in a category. Don't call me Hasidic. Don't call me Orthodox. Don't call me black hat. Don't call me blue hat. Don't call me anything. Call me Alon. And if you want to define me, I'm a Jew that keeps the Torah. And the sad part is that it has to go, if there's no definition, you know, when people come to marry, is he from this group? Is she from that group? Who cares what group is he in? If he's belonging to that group, it means it's a less of a better person. So, the problem is that one cannot take it to an extreme and say, I'll do whatever I want. We're all the same. The Torah was given equally to everybody. If the Torah tells me you have to observe Shabbat, everybody has to observe Shabbat. If the Torah tells me I have to pray, everybody has to pray. Everybody has to eat kosher. Everybody has to prevent themselves from lying and cheating and saying Lashon Hara. There's no difference. When I go to lectures, Baruch Hashem gave me the zchut to go and stand in front of thousands of people. And I don't come with this attitude that you have to become like me. I will get zero result from the crowd if I will have to start preaching and telling you have to become me. I don't say that. I say you have to become observant. You have to follow the Torah. We're equal. You want to wear a black suit? Wear a black suit. You want to wear a blue suit? Wear a blue suit. You want to wear a yellow shirt? You can wear a yellow shirt. Wear whatever you want. But don't steal. And don't cheat. And don't lie. And don't say lashon hara. Hashem doesn't care if your shirt is pink or white. And the problem is that most rabbis or people who represent the Torah says, no, if you're not this criteria, no. And this is the line where there's a problem. Because we need to bring closer. First, I need to bring myself closer. First of all. And if I have issues with myself, where do I belong, or I'm not standing up to the quality of my community, or I start developing all sorts of issues with myself. I'm not good enough. Ooh, I should dress like this because everybody going to see me right now. And what are they going to think of me? My shirt is not like everybody's shirts. And my yarmulke is not the same color. Ooh, now I'm going to be tagged now. He's wearing a white yarmulke. He's outcast from our community. And people are in this race of, ooh, I have to look like everybody. Because if I dress a little bit different, ooh, I'm going to be the black sheep. I'm going to stand out in the community. And the problem is that it causes a lot of confusion within me. Whoa, I'm under pressure right now. More than that, I have to outreach to other people. How am I going to present the Torah when I'm coming with these harsh rules? As it is, we have enough rules. I have to come with more rules? The problem is that we just received the Torah. And the question arises, okay, now I got the Torah, now what? I have to internalize that each and every one of us got the Torah. We're all there. Hashem doesn't see us separately. He doesn't see us in shades. Try to once tap into the mind of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You think He sees us different? He's not. We're all equal to Him. 100% equal. You think He sees us as a number? Or as a shape or height or my skin complexion? In Hashem's eyes, we are 100% equal. I think I see my kids differently? My kids, each one looks completely different. Some families, the kids are like a mold. They all look the same. My kids, each one is completely different. They don't even resemble each other. You put them all together, you can't even think that they're the same family. One has a brown hair, one blonde, one fair, one dark. And they're all completely different characters. Totally different. They're not even there's not even one quality that resembles the other. You think I like one of them better than the other? You think I see them different? Okay, you are higher, you are taller, I'm going to give you more food. You, I'm going to give less in the allowance. I'm hoping that there's not a parent that does that. I see them completely different and they are different and I treat them equally. It is true that one is a little bit more serious, so I don't have to be so strict with him. The other one is a little bit more Shoval, he has to be held a little bit more tight. Yes, I do treat them different in how I educate them. One has a more free hand, I give much more responsibility, the other one is a little bit less responsible, I have to put my eye on him more. Yeah, that's totally normal. The way I interact with them is different. But at the end of the day, in the quality of love and how I see them, they're totally equal. I will never dare to give one more than the other or think, oh, he's better than the other, he's getting straight A's and he's not just such a good student. Same idea. You think Hashem looks at us differently? You think He says, oh, he puts tefillin more than this guy, I'm going to like him more. This is nonsense. You think Hashem has distinguishes in Shamayim? Okay, he's a liar, he lies more, she's more modest. Hashem doesn't even look at that. He sees us completely equal. Of course, He deals with us different. A person is a little bit more responsible, so Hashem is a little bit more lenient with that person. And Hashem, one person is a little bit more reckless, so Hashem might be more strict with that person. But at the end of the day, Hashem sees us equally. No distinguish. And Hashem says, I want you to be the same. Hey, I don't want you to think that you're better than somebody else. We're all equal. But more than that, Hashem says to us in a very simple way, be you. Don't be somebody else. Don't pretend you're somebody you're not. And most people, they might not acknowledge it, but they, at some level, they're pretending to be something they're not. Just be yourself. Walk into the shul however you want to be dressed. As long as you're covered, you are modest, that's it. There's no fashion here. And the problem is that people are under the pressure that I have to fit. And if I don't fit, then I don't belong. And a lot of people maybe are scared to agree with it or to say you're right, but deep down inside, you go somewhere and you're not from the same group, you feel uncomfortable. Take now a person from one group, put them in another group, very few will feel comfortable. They'll be like, oh, you know, I'm just different, you know, they cover the hair like that, I cover my hair like this, or oh, I don't even cover my hair. How many people feel comfortable in other places? Now, very few places are warm enough to say, come in as you want. You are a precious soul, you're welcome here. You're not different than me. Maybe I learned 1 hour more Torah than you, but you're not different than me. I'm sure you are much better than me in many, many things. The point is now not to really concentrate on how I'm reflecting out, rather how I'm reflecting in. And a lot of people will have a problem that they pretend to be somebody they're not. And they're building these masks. And this is very unhealthy. You have to be yourself. You have to be you. Hashem says, I want you to follow the Torah 100%. No discounts. But be you. Be yourself. You want to sing? Sing. You want to dance? Dance. Don't think that you have to dance by the music of the community around you. It's a big mistake. Not too long ago, we have one individual here that is part of our community. And one day, not too long ago, I see him with a shiny blue yarmulke. And I was like, oh, I like your yarmulke. It's very shiny and blue. As he told me, yeah, you said to be me, so I'm me. I don't want to go with a black yarmulke. It's not me. And you told me, be yourself. So I'm going with a blue yarmulke. That's what I want to. I want to go with a blue yarmulke. And I said, good. You should be you. You should be comfortable and happy to wear a blue yarmulke. And not feel pressured to go into a shul with a black yarmulke because everybody was a black yarmulke. Good. Make a statement. You be you. Be a God-fearing Jew. Follow the Torah in your colors. Don't pretend. Because what happens is when I'm pretending to fit in the community, then I'm putting on myself this fakeness. And you know what would be the result? That it will start manifesting that I'm not myself. Suffocate. Yeah, I suffocate. But I'm finding myself, I will find myself that I'm not myself. And then I feel fake. And then I feel that I'm what am I pretending? So maybe my entire Avodat Hashem is fake. Who am I fooling? Who am I pretending? When I'm pretending to be so great, so religious? I have students for years, they don't dare to tell me. Once in a blue moon, they come and tell me something that is not so nice. Not too long ago, one of my students came and told me something, and I told him, now you're telling me that? 6 years I know you? Now you're telling me that? What, are you embarrassed of me? What, you think I'm going to judge you? You think I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be a rabbi because you do this and that? Well, why did you even hide that from me? I told him, I'm a friend even. You should feel comfortable to come and tell me, listen, I have this problem. I'm going to help you as much as I can. Maybe I have the answer for you. Why are you embarrassed to tell me? Why are you afraid you're not going to fit in my criteria and I'm going to kick you out of my shul? I'm like, what do you think? Like, and people are like so petrified to say something. Maybe they're going to think of me like this and like that. And the point to take from that, because we can go on and on and on. First, we're not going to talk about today how it's affecting the outside world. And me, as a person that is already in the world of Torah, and I understand that everybody has to be in this world, I will never affect anyone by opposing on them my opinions and my ideas. I can come and educate them. This is the Torah. The Torah is equal for everybody. Now dress however you want. Go to whatever shul you want. Sing whatever you want to sing. The approach is not like you have to be equal to me. You have to be you. And this is not only in the Torah world, this can be applied and should be applied in anything, even as a parent. Parents that dictate the rules in the home, their kids are going to rebel. The kids are going to go the furthest away. I don't want to be like my father. I don't want to be in this box. Be yourself. And it trickles into the world of the religious world that in very strict neighborhoods or communities, the kids are poor kids. I deal with these kids. I deal with these teenagers that are rebelling. And you know what I hear from them? There's one student that I have that is so rebelling, his whole body is tattoos. This is coming from a big, respectful Orthodox family. His tattoos on his neck. I mean, he looks like, and this is a result from the parents choking him so much. You know what he told me when I first met him? I never had a bike. I never rode a bike. How can you not give a little kid a bike? This is torture. He said, they never let me play football. If there was a ball somewhere and I would kick it, oh, boy, this is like worse than eating pork. This is how bad things have become, that the children, they don't know how to express themselves. And it goes down in the age that even the adults, they don't know how to express themselves. Because they're afraid to say something wrong. Then I'm going to be outcast from my community. I'm going to say something wrong. I'm going to dress differently. You know, I have very good friends. They live in New York. Unbelievable family. I have nothing bad to say on this family. Just amazing good things about them. Charitable and giving. And Bemet, I have not one thing bad to say about them. Very, very religious. Very God-fearing. Very humble. And Bemet, nothing bad. They went to a certain school and they told them, we don't accept your child, and because they told about the father, you don't do a certain thing, and the mother, you cover your hair different how we cover our hair. We don't want your child. What? You're not accepting my child to your school? Because I cover my hair different than you. That's not the Torah. I cover my hair, that's it. End of story. This is how bad it became. And they didn't accept for something minor. And really, I can guarantee to you that they are much more closer to Hashem and following the Torah than 90% of the families in that school. But, you know, some places, if you're not dancing by my music, I don't want you. And that's not the Torah. The Torah is not about that. So we don't want to talk about today about how it's reflecting out. Rather how it's reflecting in. People start becoming confused with themselves when they're hiding behind a mask. And if I'm hiding behind a mask, we lived in a certain community, my wife and me and our kids, for a couple of years. I didn't like that. I was different. I'm like, I'm not going to behave or dress like everybody here. I am me. And that is it. And it's not making me more or less religious if I'm dressed like you, or if I sing like you, or if I talk like you. And if you think you're more religious than me, then okay, that's your problem. And for me, it just annoyed me. My wife, she couldn't take that she had to fit. And that's a problem. Now what happens is most people, they put on the mask and they try to fit into the community, and down the line it affects them. They feel fake. They feel cheated. They feel like they're cheating. I'm not myself. Let me be myself. Why do I have to be you? I don't have to be you. The point that I want to take from that after I received the Torah, I received the Torah directly from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He told me, these are the rules that you have to do. These are the things you don't have to do. Now be you. Be yourself. Shine in your light. Don't have to pretend. You don't have to fit a mold. As long as you follow the Torah, that's it. How you dress, how you pronounce the word, how you do it, as long as it's in the guidelines of the Torah. I'm not giving you a leeway now to start reinventing things. But be yourself. And you can shine in your light. And you know what? When you actually be yourself, that's when you're really true to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's when you really grow spiritually. There's no fakeness. There's no masks. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to be like, you know, behaving in a certain way because that's what is expected by everybody. I can be myself. Be yourself. Be comfortable. Don't have to be a robot next to other people. And that's really what we have to concentrate during the time after Shavuot, is because I worked so hard. I went out of my Mitzrayim, out of my limitation. I refined myself. I climbed 49 levels. I did my self-work. I counted by myself. I didn't count with everybody together. I did my own refinement. Finally, I'm going to Shavuot, I got the Torah. Yeah, we get it as one, as a whole. But the connection is between me and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't be fake. Don't pretend you're somebody you're not. Be you. And that's what it needs to carry me all the way out to the next holiday, is I have to concentrate. I got the Torah now. Now I possess the Torah. Hopefully, I was able to receive it on Shavuot. Now work on being you. Don't let any pressure coming from any direction being not you. And don't let any congregation or group or style put you in a box and say, oh, I have to be in a box. The Torah is not about boxes. The Torah is about following the Torah. And if you want to follow the Torah a certain way, good. As long as you don't go away from the guidelines of the Torah. And the promise here, you will flourish. You will be the ultimate you when you are you. And Hashem likes you as you are. He doesn't want when you pretend to be something. I hate when my kids pretend. They think they need to pretend to be something to be on my good side so they can get their lollipop. Now, one of my kids, he thinks that if he will pretend a certain thing, I will actually give him what he wants. And I keep telling him, I will give you what you want when you are true, when you are you. I know who you are. Don't pretend. Don't grow up thinking that you need to pretend to convince somebody. Be yourself and be true to yourself. It will affect you that you're always going to be honest with yourself. You're not going to have problems with yourself. Am I true to myself? Am I really doing what I'm supposed to do? And that's really the message one needs to carry after Shavuot. Because really now, in the last half a year, every month, we were concentrating on one topic. In the month of Cheshvan, we were learning about Hanukkah. A whole month, we were learning about Hanukkah. After that, we learned about Purim. After that, a month, we learned about Pesach. After that, a whole month and a half, we learned about Sfirat Omer. What are we going to learn about now? We have till Rosh Hashanah. Okay, in Elul, we'll start learning about Rosh Hashanah. What am I going to learn about now? What am I going to teach you? I don't have any holidays to build up now. Now I have to start building myself. And I have to thrive in my own colors. Hashem says, I gave the Torah for each and every one of you. You're all united, but you have to be yourself. And that's the message I have to carry now for the next few months, is I am going to serve God the best way in my colors. And I don't have to appease everybody. And I don't have to fit. And I don't have to now say, okay, if you don't like me, okay, you don't like me. It's your problem. It's not my problem. You don't accept me. You have the limitation, not me. And you find the place that you are yourself. And there are many people that they belong in a group and they love it. And that's their thing. Good. That's what makes you happy. Great. You like your group. Amazing. Don't think that your group is better than another group and accept everybody else. But it's good for you. And it's good for a certain amount of people that they belong. This person belongs in Chabad. This person belongs in Breslev. This person belongs in Tzanz. You belong where you belong, fine. If you don't think you belong anywhere, you don't need to belong anywhere. You belong to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy with what you are. You don't need to dress a certain way to say, now my Torah is valid. My Torah is valid when I'm following the Torah how I need to do it. And the point that I want to take from that is Hashem says, don't be fake. One thing that the Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot stand is lies and fakeness. You can do whatever you want. Hashem says, I know you have a Yetzer Hara. I know when you fail. I send the Yetzer Hara. But at least be honest. Hashem cannot stand lies and people that are fake. And when you lie, even to yourself, Hashem says, why are you lying to yourself? Why are you pretending? Why, you can't look in the mirror and say to yourself, this is the reality, this is what I am? Be yourself. And when you know how to focus on yourself and say, that's me. Don't try to change me. People go into relationships right away. In the dating period, everything's good. Once you're married, now everybody's trying to change their spouse. So I always tell to married people that they have problems, don't try to change your spouse. That's who you married. You're never going to change that person. That's how you got them. Live with it. You love them in the dating process. That's the reality. And when we try to change our spouse, our children, parents try to change their children, this is the worst thing one can do. Because a child is, this is how I am. Why are you trying to change me? I'm not going to be like you. I'm the total opposite from my father. Complete opposite. Two opposites. And throughout the first period of my life, my father thought that I need to be like him. And at some point I told him, I'm never going to be like you. Realize that. And the second that he realized, be you, then he allowed me to shine and to grow, because I didn't have to be under the threat that, oh, I have to be like that. And that's the problem with many people in the Avodat Hashem, that they're threatened, oh, I have to be like that, and if I'm not like that, then it means everything is not good. So what I want to take from that is that I have to serve Hashem with all my heart, but how I shine. And I have to be me. And I have to serve Hashem in my individual way. And that's how Hashem wants it. Hashem says, I want you to be you. Don't pretend. Don't be somebody different. Start nourishing yourself. And be yourself. Don't start going off the guidelines, but be yourself. And I can guarantee to you that when you become yourself, that's really when you flourish, that's really when you grow, that's really when you communicate the right way with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really why the Torah was given to us in so many different ways. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says the Torah is the same. But now you do it. You want to sing? Sing. You want to pray quietly? Pray quietly. You want to go like this when you pray? Go like this. Some shuls, if you start clapping when you pray, shh, shh, shh. He wants to clap. Let him clap. Why do you care what he's doing? You can't take the noise, go to a different room. So A, we have to be ourselves, and we have to allow others to be themselves. And again, Chas v'Shalom, don't take my words out of context. You can't bend the rules of the Torah. It has to be based on the Torah. But then you shine your own way, like a symphony. There's dozens of instruments. Everybody has to be their own instrument. And that's how you get a beautiful, beautiful concert. If everybody would be just the drums, what are you going to get? Everybody would be the violins, die. You have to... We all are compared to colors. It says that Am Yisrael is compared to colors, and you cannot make a painting from one color. If you make a painting just from the color blue, this is going to be a very boring painting. You have to make many different shades and mix the blue and the white, so it will become a little bit purple. And this is what we are. We are different colors. We are different shades. There are millions of shades. And if you are not your shade, you are preventing Hashem from His artwork in this universe. And He says, why are you pretending to be blue? You are yellow. Stop being blue. That's not your color. Be who you are. Because I need you to shine in your color. That's the real Avodat Hashem. That's really accepting the Torah, is to being me in the guidelines of the Torah. And if we do that, it's guaranteed that A, you will flourish, you will grow spiritually, you will hasten the redemption, because you're not going to bring into the world this concept of lie. You're going to bring many more people close to the Torah, Jews and non-Jews. Non-Jews also have to become part of the Torah. Belongs to them too. They're part of the redemption. The non-Jews don't want to do anything to do with us, because we're like, no, you don't fit into my thing. Torah is not mine, Torah is everybody's. Torah was also given to the non-Jews. I have to actually teach them. We just read now in Shavuot, Vayitem li mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. We read it, literally read it 2 days ago in the Ten Commandments. I have to be a nation, a light to the nations. So the Torah belongs to everybody. I have to educate the nations too. How am I going to educate them if I'm boxing myself? Bezrat Hashem should have a beautiful, beautiful warm summer. And we should grow spiritually and emotionally, and really find the colors, the true colors of myself, to be able to shine out and help Hashem create a beautiful painting in this world with my shade of colors. Bezrat Hashem, we should all find our inner me and shine it out to affect the entire world.